For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Fruit of the Gospel, as we pick up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
I thoroughly disagree with those who say, well, the Holy Spirit was given in the beginning to give them a start, but once they got organized, they no longer needed the Holy Spirit's power, and so God withdrew that power to let us go now on our own steam, so to speak, with our own genius and with our seminaries and all. With all that we have today, we are failing to get the gospel into all the world. A smaller percentage of people in the world know of Jesus Christ today than did know of him 30 years ago. In fact, with the rate of the population growth explosion in the world, and with the rate by which the gospel is being preached in the world, the declining rate, if things continue status quo, by the year 2021, only 5% of the people in the world will have heard of Jesus Christ. With all of our seminaries and radios and TVs and programs and wisdom and devices and schemes and methods, it's a real indictment against the church. It does say much for the Holy Spirit and for his ability and power. I believe that the only hope for the church to reach this generation with the gospel is again the empowering of the Holy Spirit and being led of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it can be done by man's devices. I don't think that we can devise a program to do it. And I don't think God intends us to. I believe that it is only through prayer and through being led by the Spirit that the church can be an effective witness in the world. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." But the only power that we have whereby to be that kind of a witness is the power of the Spirit. And if we deny that and reject that, then surely we are going to fail in the mission of getting the gospel into the world. Again, in this first chapter, Paul makes mention of the fact of the gospel being preached into all of the world. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There are those who say, well, Jesus can't come until the gospel's been preached into all the world. Well, the gospel has been preached in all the world. And it brings forth fruit. The glorious thing about the gospel is it does bring forth fruit. And look where in the world the gospel has been received. Look at the fruit that it has brought forth in the lives of the people and in the nations themselves. Those nations that have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, look at the fruit that it's brought forth. Those nations where other religions are more or less the national religions and reign, look at the fruit of that. Now, I'm talking about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because unfortunately, the church as an institution does not always proclaim the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But the church as an institution quite often is just another religious experience and is as another religion in the world because it doesn't always proclaim the real gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there are nations that have come under the influence of the church and they're no better off for it. But those that have come under the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can see the fruit. It has brought forth fruit in the lives of the people. And one of the fruits of the gospel is that of the love of freedom, the love of liberty. Our nation, founded really from people who were looking for that freedom of worshiping God without a state church, without the state ordering the church and supporting the church and taking the taxes from the people for the church. The darkness of Europe today is the result of state church systems. And in those European nations where you have the state church, where the church is supported by the taxes of the people, you find that the church is decadent, it's dead. There were men who had a love for freedom because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they established this nation, and that's why freedom and liberty was such an important thing to them. But as other forces have moved in, as the church's witness has waned, we see there is also an eroding of our freedoms, an eroding of the liberties. And people are allowing it because the strength of the gospel is not what it once was in this land. And so we are not as free as were our forefathers. There's a lot of things that you could carry on with that, but time doesn't permit. It brings forth fruit. The real fruit of the gospel is love, an appreciation of fellow man, a love for our brothers. A love that manifests itself in deeds of charity and goodness to one another. Reaching out the fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. And Paul's emphasis here, you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. How important that we know the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras had given to Paul this report on the church. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the first petition that Paul is praying for the church is that they be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Secondly, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and told them all that God was and had done for them. And then he said, now walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. You're a child of God. Walk like it. Live like it. Walk worthy of that which God has called you to be, his child. Walk in a manner that is befitting that of a child of God. You might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How important that we be increasing in our knowledge of God. For you can only really know God in truth as He has revealed Himself to us through His Word. Your only real source of the knowledge of God is here in the Bible. And so to know God, we must know the Word of God whereby He has revealed Himself to man. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And we, week by week, should be increasing in our knowledge of God. That you might be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. You might begin to experience more that power of God's Spirit working in your life. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, so often our patience and long suffering is not with joyfulness. It's with sort of complaining and whining and griping. I've been waiting so long, you know. And we just sort of wail when God makes us wait. But that we might wait with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father who has made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul again wrote of the saints in light to the Ephesians. Here, and there is a great parallel. Of course, both the epistles were written at the same time, so a lot of parallel thoughts in the two. But we give thanks to God who has made us worthy to be partakers of this inheritance. Again, Paul prayed for the Ephesians. That they might know. That they might know what is his inheritance. Something different. But he did refer also as one of the blessings of God. That inheritance that is ours of the saints in light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what conversion is all about. Being delivered from the power of darkness, from our bondage in sin, that power of Satan that once held us, and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We read so much in the scriptures of the kingdom of God, and so often we think of that as something totally future. For many people it is. But for you it should be a present experience. You see, you become a part of that kingdom the moment you bow your knee to Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as your King and your Lord. I am in the kingdom of God. I have yielded my life as a faithful subject and servant to that kingdom. He is my King. Therefore, I am in His kingdom. And so I've been delivered from the power of darkness, been translated into that kingdom, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, one of the glorious blessings of Colossians chapter 1. The redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image, talking now of Jesus Christ, of the invisible God? And he's going to tell us several things now here concerning Jesus. Remember, the Gnostics and the heresy that was creeping into Colossae were denying the deity of Jesus. So Paul here is going to now tell of the supremacy of Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. John chapter 1, no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him or manifested him. made him known. For the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the image of the invisible God. In Hebrews 1, he is the brightness of his glory, or the effulgence of the glory of God, the express image of himself. Jesus is the express image of God, the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature, or as the word means in the Greek, precedence above, first in not first, second, third, fourth, but first as the above all. And so here, he is above all of the creatures or creation. For by him were all things created. Genesis 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created. The word God there in Hebrew is Elohim, which is plural. The Hebrew singular for God is El. The dual tense is Elah, and Elohim is the plural tense for God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, plural. And I believe that that is a hint of the Trinity right in the very first verse of the Bible. The fact that they would use God in a plural form. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when it came to man, and God said, let us make man in our likeness and after our image. Not, I will make man after my likeness, after my image, but let us, in the divine counsels of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, man was created in the likeness and the image of God. So in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the active agent in creation. For by him were all things created. The all things, it does mean just that, to be taken literally. For things that are in heaven and things that are in the earth, the whole universe created by him. Things that are visible and things that are invisible. So the visible material universe that you can see, plus the invisible universe that you don't see, the spirit beings, the angels, the various rankings and orders of spirit beings, here referred to as thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were made by him and for him. So not only is he the creator, but here he is the object of creation. They were made by him and they were made for him. All of the angels, all of the universe, all of the things within the universe were made for him, and that includes you. You were made for his good pleasure and purpose. People don't like that sometimes. They rebel against that. Which he has given you the capacity to do, because when he created you with a free will or a choice. You were created in his image, and God is a self-determinate being, and thus he created you self-determinate, the power of choice. And that was necessary in order that he might have meaningful fellowship with you. studying the human body and studying the wisdom of God, I realized how that God could have made us very sophisticated robots. Put circuitry boards in us. And could have made us to fulfill all of the functions that we can fulfill as human beings except meaningful love. Meaningful fellowship. And for that, you couldn't have a robot. You've got to have a choice. And so God created us with the choice, the capacity of choice. And if you will exercise that choice and live for Him, your life will be rich and full and satisfying. If you exercise your choice by living for yourself, your life will be empty, futile, and frustrating. He is before all things. In the beginning, God. He existed before ever there was a world, or stars, or planets, or life forms. Before there were ever angels, He existed. He is eternal. He has always existed. He is self-existent. He is before all things, and by Him, all things consist. The word in Greek means are held together. A very interesting statement in the light of the discovery of the atoms and the law of electricity. Coulomb's law of electricity declares that like charges repel. Positive charges repel each other. Opposite poles attract.
Prayer is the most joyous privilege. For more than 25 years, this beloved message has touched hearts and transformed lives around the world. Now, Effective Prayer Life returns with a beautifully redesigned cover, while the life-changing truth inside remains the same. In these pages, Pastor Chuck Smith invites you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, exploring the purpose, practice, and promise of prayer. If you long for victory, peace, blessing, and a true spiritual fulfillment, this book will show you how a fervent, effective prayer life opens the door to walking hand in hand with God. Discover the beauty, simplicity, and power of prayer, and be refreshed through a closer walk with Jesus. Don't wait. Order your copy today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. Prayer is one of God's greatest gifts to you.
May the Lord be with you. And may your life be an instrument in God's hand this week. May you have that unusual joy of realizing God's hand is upon my life and He has used me. May God help you to share His love with those that are still sitting in darkness. And may you experience the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life in a new and a very special way as He empowers you to do His work. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Colossians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources. resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Colossians 1. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.